You are Locked On Chargers, your daily
Los Angeles
Chargers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this Friday, October 27th episode of the Locked On Chargers podcast, an episode that is being brought to you by MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. If you sign up now and use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's all one word, locked on, they'll match your initial deposit up to 100%. That's mybookie.ag. As always, I'm your host, Matthew Stanley. You can find me on Twitter at BoltFanInDenver or over at LockedOnLAC. Friday. Thank God it's Friday. I don't know about you guys, but I am 100% ready for the weekend. But unlike the rest of us, the Chargers are going to be heading off to New England for business today. Not making that flight is wide receiver Dontrell Inman. Inman was traded to the Chicago Bears on Wednesday for a conditional 7th-round pick. This was a pretty predictable move. The Chargers just didn't have room for Inman anymore. Despite his growth in the last few seasons and his outstanding performance, especially late last season, he heads to Chicago where, because of mounting injuries at the wide receiver position, he can basically go in and perform as their number one wide receiver for the going forward here. He's going to be in a position where he's going to get a ton of snaps, so unless he gets hurt, he's going to meet whatever the specific conditions were for playing time for this trade, so I expect that 7th to be honored. I was hoping to get a 6th-rounder for Inman when me and the Bolts from the Blue staff had talked about who's probably going to get traded and who the Chargers should trade or trade for. I was hoping that they could probably get a 6th for Inman, especially after his great season last year. He had over 800 yards, and you could really tell that Rivers trusted him. But he, they wound up, they're probably going to get a 7th for him, and he was an undrafted free agent coming in, so that's a win. They got a greater return on it. It's also just a good deal for Dontrell Inman. He's in the last year of his contract, and now he's going to get to go to a situation where he will be playing a big role. He'll be a feature wide receiver, and he's going to get a great chance to audition for either a renewed contract with the Bears or a contract with some other team. So it's just a great move all around. It was time to move on with Mike Williams here now, and the Chargers were able to get something for him, so it was a good move. To take Inman's spot on the roster, the Chargers have promoted wide receiver Jeremy Davis from the practice squad. Davis did a lot of good in the preseason. He hauled in 9 passes for 68 yards, and he just looked like he had reliable hands. He had a good understanding of the offense. He ran good routes. And it seemed like every press conference, Anthony Lynn was singing his praises and mentioning Jeremy Davis. So it's not surprising to see that he got brought up. But I don't know if I expect him to play this week, because ever since Mike Williams started being activated, Dontrell Inman was a game day scratch. So I'm not sure if that was they were just trying to keep Dontrell Inman healthy to trade him, or if it was, just part of the plan. So we'll see if Jeremy Davis plays this week, but I wouldn't expect it. Now, with Davis moving up to the active roster, that opens up a spot on the practice squad, and the Chargers went ahead and just filled that with offensive lineman Max Turk and bringing him back to the practice squad. The team waived Turk back on October 3rd after he had finished his suspension, and the team needed to either activate him or waive him. And they decided to waive him because he, even though there was pretty high expectations for him in the summer, based on the fact that not only was he a 3rd-round draft pick, but he was a lineman who has, way above average athleticism and, made a name for himself while at USC with his ability to make those blocks in space, to be able to get out and pull and make those blocks on the move that this new offense under Anthony Lynn relies on. So it was kind of surprising and disappointing to see that after starting the preseason getting some decent snaps, I mean, starting camp getting some decent snaps, to see his role diminish basically week to week and not see him gaining any ground, any traction in this offense. So the Chargers released him. He spent a couple weeks on the street doing nothing. Nobody else picked him up, so the Chargers decided to bring him back. And hopefully he uses it as a learning opportunity to say, hey, you know, I need to recommit myself. I need to, you know, talk to the coaches, find out where I'm deficient, and really work on those areas. And hopefully, you know, going into next offseason, he'll have a chance to compete and be a solid depth piece for these Chargers. The team also went ahead and signed another offensive lineman this week. They signed offensive tackle Michael Ola. That filled the spot that was created when Matt Slauson was added to the IR earlier this week. Ola's been in the league for 4 years, and he actually spent time with the Chargers in 2015 and got some time in one game. And then he had snaps in six games last year for Buffalo while Anthony Lynn was there. So there's the connection there. That's why they kind of knew what they had with him and were able to bring him back in. In his first two seasons, he started 19 games between the Bears and the Lions. And in kind of a strange coincidence, his first career start was with the Bears, and it was also a result of Matt Slauson getting injured. So that's kind of a secondary weird connection there. Ola started the season with the Bills, but he injured his ankle in the final preseason game, and then he was waived injured, and now that he's fully healthy, the Chargers decided to bring him in. Before I talk about the kind of weird situation the Chargers roster puts them in right now on the offensive line, I want to talk to you again real quick about mybookie.ag. Even before I started this podcast, people have been asking me who to bet on, especially friends and relatives as they roll through Vegas. My uncle goes through Vegas all the time because he's got a daughter that does dance competitions. And they're asking me, Matt, who do I bet on this week? Patriots, Chargers, Denver, Kansas City. And I'm always kind of hesitant to offer up advice on who to bet on. I don't want to be in that position, but I do offer them advice on where to bet. I tell them, why go all the way to Vegas when you can bet from home or wherever you are on mybookie.ag? And right now, they're offering to match up to 100% of your initial deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON. That's all one word, LOCKEDON. There's a lot of sports books out there, but mybookie.ag is the best, and it's the only sports book that I use and advise people to use. They've been around for years. They have a solid reputation. They give 100% cash bonuses. So right off the bat, you're making money for not doing anything. They also pay out extremely fast. 2 days after you click to cash out, 2 business days after you click to cash out, you have your money. So go check them out, mybookie.ag. So back to what I was talking about. With the Chargers signing Michael Ola, this puts the Chargers in an interesting spot depth-wise on the offensive line. Currently, they have 5 players listed as tackles on the roster. They have Russell Okung, Joe Barksdale, Sam Tevy, Tyler Mars, and now Michael Ola. Then they have Michael Schofield and Kenny Wiggins listed as guard/tackle. But as we know, Schofield has been the one who's been playing at right tackle in Joe Barksdale's absence. So that means that Dan Feeney is the only player on the active roster listed as a guard, and Spencer Pulley is the only player on the roster listed at center. So as they've been playing, the team currently has 6 tackles on the roster, 2 guards, and a center. Dan Feeney, he had a bunch of reps at center in the preseason, and we know Schofield can play guard, but to me, it just seems kind of odd that they're putting themselves in this position to have to do a lot of shuffling if there's an injury anywhere in the interior offensive line. I mean, let's assume that I was right yesterday and Joe Barksdale is inactive this week. Let's just say that. Joe Barksdale's out this week. That means the starting offensive line is going to be Russell Okung at left tackle, Dan Feeney at left guard, Spencer Pulley at center, Michael Schofield at Oh, so I skipped one. Kenny Wiggins at right guard and Michael Schofield at right tackle. If there's an injury to Dan Feeney in the game, that means they're probably sending Kenny Wiggins from right guard to left guard. They're kicking Michael Schofield in from right guard, from right tackle to right guard, and then picking either Sam Tevi, Michael Ola, or Tyler Mars to come in at right tackle. So there's three moves. If Dan Feeney gets hurt, they have to make three moves. Three guys are now playing positions that they weren't playing to start the game. If Spencer Pulley goes down, it gets worse. You have to kick Feeney from left guard inside to center, and then you have to do all that stuff I just talked about. Kenny Wiggins goes from right to left guard. Michael Schofield kicks in from right tackle to right guard, and you have a new right tackle. The easiest change to deal with is if Wiggins goes down, you just kick Schofield in and you have a new right tackle. But without having signed a backup offensive guard or center, they have now put themselves in the position to have to make two, three, or four moves because of one injury. The offensive line is all about being a cohesive unit. And so if you have one injury and then all of a sudden you have four names at different positions on the offensive line in the middle of a drive, I feel like that's just asking for trouble. I hope they don't have to do any of that, and that during the bye week, maybe they look at things and bring in a new guard or center and drop one of these offensive tackles so that it's not an issue going forward. But I feel like that's just kind of a scary position to put themselves in when the line has been doing so well up to this point. I feel like, you know, why put yourself through that? Why not, you know, spend a couple extra days and go find a guard or center to bring in? So real quick, before we get out of here, I want to give a final injury update for the week. Coming from the Patriots, both Malcolm Brown, the Patriots' starting defensive tackle, and defensive back Eric Rowe both missed their third and final practice of the week. So they're pretty much out for Sunday. I'd expect both of them to be out for Sunday, which is huge for the Chargers. The Patriots' defense is already awful, and now they'll be without their best defensive tackle, their best linebacker in Donta Hightower, who was added to the IR yesterday, and a key role player in Eric Rowe. I think Anthony Lynn and Ken Wisenhunt are going to game plan to attack the Patriots on the ground, especially on first down, and set up the play action. As I said yesterday, Melvin Gordon is kind of struggling running the ball on first down. He's only averaging about 3-ish yards per carry, but the Patriots are giving up almost 8 yards per play on first down, and now they're missing their best defensive tackle and their best linebacker. And so I expect the Chargers to, you know, hit the ground hard on first down and set up play action on the later downs when they have second and short, third and short, and be able to start getting some of those chunk plays. As for the Chargers, Joe Barksdale is listed as doubtful this week, and I think he should probably just sit. I mean, I've mentioned it yesterday, I mentioned it again today. I think he just needs to stay off that foot, help that turf toe heal, and go into the bye week, continue resting through the bye week, so that way he can be as fresh and as healthy as possible after the bye, so that they can, you know, expect to have him going forward the rest of the season. Because if Joe Barksdale is healthy, then the offensive line situation gets a little easier to swallow. Yeah, Michael Schofield can then primarily be a backup guard. That way, you know, you don't have to do some of those more intense shuffles that I mentioned earlier. So hopefully they just rest Joe Barksdale, let him sit, let him get healthy, and you know, be the end of it. As far as the rest of the Chargers injury report, Melvin Gordon and Corey Legit are both questionable. Gordon's going to play. I have no doubts about that. He's going to play. Corey Legit, I think he's probably on the south end of questionable, leaning towards doubtful. I think even though the defense was fine without him last week because Darius Filon played out of his mind and really just got things going last week, I think it's more important just like Joe Barksdale, to get Corey Legit healthy. That way they don't have to try and bring anyone else in. And Corey Legit wasn't doing poorly. He, when they limited his snaps and dropped his snaps down, he was doing a lot of good things on that line. And I think what's important here is to rest him and get him healthy. So if it was me, I sit Legit along with Barksdale this week. Well, thank you all again for listening to this Friday episode of Locked On Chargers. And I want to remind you, today's episode was brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Head on over to their site, take advantage of the promo code Locked On. They'll match 100%, up to 100% of your initial deposit. So you can bet on your favorite sports using some of their money. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you don't miss an episode. It's available on all your favorite podcast platforms. Make sure to tell your friends, your family, your coworkers, anyone you know who's a Chargers fan. Tell them to subscribe so they don't miss an episode and they can get some daily Chargers podcast action. All right, everybody, have fun, enjoy your weekend, and go Chargers.